Remember, we want thinkers, not doers, right? Thinkers are the ones that get it done in the course of a day, not the doer. The doer will stand there and stare at it all day long. The thinker will fix it.
Hey, it's Nikki Llewellyn Gregory, and you're on Gut Plus Science. You're in for a fast-paced, storytelling, action item-rich leadership growth experience. I hope you make this podcast a habit. I consider it a leadership mentoring tool. Learning together makes us better together, and that is how we change the world around us. Let's get to it. Hey, it's Nikki back on Gut Plus Science, and today I have Ken Midgett joining me to break down what it takes to create meaningful and impactful training experiences from onboarding to employee development and leadership development, all of it. What does it take from the way we think to what we offer our people to ensure that training sticks and propels the most meaningful outcomes? So let's ask Ken. And Ken, it's trying to figure out, hey, where do we start? And I always like to start with the mindset. We're speaking to leaders on the show, and let's just frame this up from how do you suggest leaders shift their mindset or frame their mindset about training to get us started? Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Wow, great question. And I think I have a lot of good answers and nuggets for people to take away on that. And my very first thing at the very top of the pyramid is the culture, right? And I don't necessarily mean the total encompassing culture of your company. What's the training culture look like? What does it look like from an admin view and a leadership view? What does it look like from a delivery view, meaning your managers and your L&D people? And what does it look like to the trainee, the technician, right? What does those three buckets look like? So at the top, you know, we're looking at ROI, we're looking at investment. In the middle, we're looking at management and hoping to get engagement. And at three, we're hoping to get them to do it, right? The engagement's the biggest part. Engagement, absorption, and application, right? Seeing the results of the training. So that is the most important. If you can't get that part right, the rest is very, very challenging.
Thank you for that. And I would love to bring that to life a little bit and share, you know, you've been in the business world for a very long time. You've seen a lot of different cultures and no one culture is the same. I often tell people that, you know, your next door neighbor company that just got the award, you know, you can't do exactly what they did and win an award, right? It's so unique. And I would love for you to just share with us two different companies. They're doing training really well. Their foundation of culture is solid, but it's very different. Just kind of bring to life what that looks like as the foundation, and not everybody's the same, but it's really important to have that culture in place.
One way is that you make the training this intangible, but yet it becomes a tangible item, meaning that the technician can start to see the results, and the technician comes in and says, I want to do this, right? And then the other way is that you have to convince the tech that the reason you're doing this, here's all the connections. You're going to have more job security. You're going to be worth more money to the company. You're increasing your professional development. In turn, you're going on the personal side, you're going to earn more income. What does that do? That sustains more things in life and more goodies for you on the back end, double mortgage payments, whatever that looks like in your window of prizes, it starts to fill that prize bucket. So there's two ways. And I would say the second way is probably the more powerful way because it's a personal connection. The first way really comes from the more driven employee. So this is the top 10 to 20% of your company. These techs just want to grow. And not just technicians, managers, everybody. It depends what kind of training you're pushing out there. But they want to grow. They have this initiative, personal motivation that they have their own plans. They have their goals lined up every year. They adjust their goals. That's that person that's coming to you and saying, I want more, I want more, I want more. The masses, the 80 to 90% are the people that you have to coach to that spot. And that's where that culture comes in, where admit it from the top down, training is important because, and the owner fills in the work, the manager fills in the work, the technician fills in the work, right? Training is important because what's the work? What's the next work, right? Growth, this should be the next word, right? Because training should equal growth. From a management perspective, less babysitting, right? Less silly phone calls during the day. I just put the red wire on the white wire. What should I do next? We want to get rid of those phone calls. Managers should be managing and coaching the techs to be more profitable, not necessarily technically proficient, right? And that's the That's the thing that training can do and take away that burden off of the manager. So the manager can truly spend the time on coaching the technician on stats, financial stats, which pushes the ladder up and changes the ROIs, right? That's the crux of it right there. So if we going back to those three buckets, administration wants to see ROI. What's happening here? I'm spending all this money on training. We have additional unproductive time now because we're paying techs to train or we're not paying techs to train. That's another point we want to make sure we come back to, that one right there. Managers, how can we alleviate some of the burden from them being technical managers and become more of a coaching and hands-on environment with their subordinates? And how can we help the techs grow, which in turn creates retention? You know, I want to work here. No one else is going to train me like this company is, right? It's the other golden handcuff, if you will. It creates a great recruiting environment. It creates a great onboarding environment. So a lot of dominoes, if you will, that start to fall into place just because you start to do training the correct way.
That's so good. And there are two consistent messages that come up a lot on Gut Plus Science that you're reiterating. One, it's really important to tie to the why behind this. So for the 10 to 20% or the 80 to 90%, those two buckets, the core was really getting to meeting, you know, them from a cultural perspective with like why and leaning into that. The other that you said that we talk about a lot on the show and it's so important is managers, leaders. We often see a lot of times it's like, as a manager, you're here to lead, right? And so maybe even reframing that messaging, but whatever it is, whoever's leading those people, they're here to be coaches. I'm not here for checks and balances and check the box and just make sure you got your stuff done. I'm here to help you advance your efforts in your life in this role. So thank you for reiterating that. I'm really curious. You've had an extensive business background. You know, you've run businesses, entrepreneurship, very passionate about what you're doing right now. Why training? You could do anything. Why training and being so passionate about this is your area of focus now?
That is such a great question. I'm sure you're going to just feel the passion come right out of my voice. I think when I, you know, my career is very diverse in that during my apprenticeship, I worked in almost every facet there is in the industry. So I have a very diverse apprenticeship from a technical perspective, and then the years of business experience, and then that transition into education. Being an educator by far, and even to this day, has been the most rewarding experience I've ever had. I mean, and it's still paying me back in just rewards, just watching somebody flourish. We were just on American Plumber Stories with a female alumni that's getting ready to take her journeyman's exam that started out as a little shy ninth grade freshman. It's just how these things have happened over my educational career is what I think really has me driven and sights set on that. This is the answer to so many problems. This is the answer to, you know, students in high school that have a challenging and learning environment. This is the answer to recruiting and getting more people into the skilled trades. This is the answer to businesses growing and becoming flourishing businesses, because it starts with this, right? It starts with the training. Training changes so many dynamics in a company. One of the most simplified dynamics that it changes in a technician is confidence. And that spills over. That's like a cascading waterfall that goes into a bunch of different rivers, right? If you increase a technician's confidence, what do you do? Well, you make them a better communicator to the customer, because now they understand what they're communicating about instead of just repeating what the manager told them at the office or what the factory training person told them to tell them. They have ownership of what they're talking about, right? It's extremely powerful. Right. What does that also do? That changes reviews. Everybody's so hyped up on Google reviews, right? Well, if a tech is confident, chances are they're going to be professional and they're not going to get themselves in environments from a communication between tech and customer that are awkward or weird or will push a Google review the wrong way, right? Callbacks will go down. Measurable ROI investment, top of thing, easy thing to measure. Use the analytics from a company, track your callbacks, put that technician right back into the training mechanism to fix the callback, track it again, find out the true value of where that changes. So your question, I love training. I love affecting other people's lives. I love taking somebody from nothing to making them great. That's what I'm about. I don't need to be in the spotlight. I need to be watching the other person in the spotlight.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And I can see your passion shining. For many of our listeners, it'll be an audio experience. I'm sitting here watching you just light up as you share that. And what's better than being in that place where you just find and feel that meaningful work yourself? You know, I love the comment you said about training breeds confidence. And when you think training can be this key effort, this one effort that really affects all outcomes, because the better the human is, the better the outcome is going to be. And I love looking at it from that angle. The more confident someone is, the more they take ownership in their role. And every leader, every company wants people that feel that ownership. And so, gosh, you just did such a great job bringing that to life. What are the most important considerations to creating meaningful training for someone that's listening and they're like, I'm about to design something, or I'm going to partner with someone that's going to help us? What do they need to keep in mind?
Number one is, how's it going to be implemented, right? There's no, look, I'm going to repeat this twice for the sake of timing here. There's no training out there that you buy and just hand it to somebody and say, go do this. None. There's nothing out there. It takes a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of planning. And you need to have expectations. And everybody needs to understand those expectations. Technicians, management, and administration. So how does administration understand what an expectation is? If I'm a manager and I say that I need more iPads, you need to go get them. Even if it's another $100,000 over budget, go get it done, because you're holding me up. You're going to change the expectation. Everything that you do from once you make this training plan, the plan, that's another thing. Everything you do when you make this plan, and it has to have some flexibility and agility. But if you get into a spot where you need to pivot and it's going to cost money, you need to find the money if you want the plan to work. And that's pretty much with anything in business, right? So buy something that's going to fit your needs, right? Everybody learns a different way. There's all kinds of learning styles and modalities out there. Everybody learns a different way. Everybody understands something a different way. Buy something that's safe, right? From two aspects, the humanistic side of safe, meaning that a learner's not going to be afraid to ask a question because they can revisit whatever the training was, and safe, obviously, from safety. I'm not going to get shocked. I'm not going to smash my finger. I'm not going to get twisted up in a drill. Two different kinds of safety, right? And the first one is just as important as the second one. Because if you have something where somebody just doesn't quite get it the way the content was delivered, and they need to revisit it to get reassured what that information means, and they're made to look foolish, you're going to lose them. You're going to ruin your engagement. Number three, engaging. It has to be engaging. The days of showing black and white colored PowerPoints with an audio in the background going on for 20, blah, 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 for 20 minutes, those are gone. Those days are gone. I'm not going to say that video content isn't good, because the company I work for produces it. It's quite artistic and it is engaging. But we know, we study the science and understand what it takes to make it engaging. So getting just video only content, be careful that it's not just all vanilla, right? It has to have something. You need to have something that your techs are going to be excited to do, and they're going to feel that they're actually learning from it, and their time is not being wasted. Fourth thing is maybe alternative. Maybe look into virtual reality, augmented reality types of training. The cost is very, very low compared to building a full-blown training center. When you compare that to virtual reality training that's designed correctly to teach a skilled tradesperson, it's a slam dunk. The virtual reality wins every time. Make sure that the training incorporates safety, the physical safety. So if I'm going to pick up a hammer, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure I got safety glasses on. If I'm going to cut concrete, I got to be cognizant of silica dust, and so on and so on and so forth. Reinforce all the OSHA statutes, right? You want to make sure that it's a step. It isn't just follow OSHA. It's follow OSHA steps for this specific task, or whatever the safety steps that you have in your company that you have. Make sure that they're included in the steps of the training. Engagement is simply goes in the expectation folder. So there's an expectation from the manager to the technician that it's not a question of if you're going to complete this training, it's how and when, right? And that the company has to decide the how and when part. It's going to be every Friday morning from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. We're paying you for an hour. We expect you to be training. Administration has to have a way to, a lens, if you will, to look through, to watch the productivity of that training. And then other external measurements for ROI purposes. You know, we're doing water heaters 4 minutes faster than we did before. You know, measurable monetary ROI investments. What you can't really measure, but you can witness, it's kind of intangible, especially as an admin person, is the culture of your company. People wanting to come to work, people wanting to learn, people wanting to migrate on different things. So if I'm a plumber, why shouldn't I migrate and learn the HVAC side, right? Why shouldn't I learn the electrical side if I have training capable for me to take advantage of? Because most successful contractors are offering all three services. Why shouldn't you be the diversified technician to handle all three services? What are you doing for yourself? I'm making myself a more marketable tech to my company. So, you know, but that has to be sold to them that way.
How we get our people to want to engage and want to show up, want to be there. And, you know, I think you're just hitting on it. We've talked about this, understanding the why behind it and how it ties to what it is that they're trying to do. And you were saying to sell it to them that way, making sure that we're customizing our approach to tie to what matters to them. You know, that's one thing I've heard you say in that genre. The other is, rather than showing up as their manager, we're showing up as their coach. We're building a relationship and we're leaning into helping them tie these pieces together as to why it's important to have cross-functional knowledge and how this affects them and helps them be a better, more resourceful team member for us and for their outcomes. What else comes to mind just from the wanting to show up and put that energy in or being glad that they're there?
One of the things that, from a middle management perspective, that must be done is evaluations. So I don't care if you want to make them weekly or biweekly, but you need no more than biweekly. This is where you are. This is what you got done. I see that you finished the water heater training. I'm going to start sending you with Joe, who's a skilled person, on some of the water heater calls, and let's see what you can do in the real world. Like if you're doing simulation training, as an example, I see you completed it. Now I want to see what you can do in the real world with Joe, right? I want to see question answer type things on job sites, hand-holding, teaching them, letting them touch it. Because one of the trade-offs between hands-on learning and virtual learning is, and this is critically important for business owners to understand from an investment perspective. I can't teach a learner in a virtual environment how tight to make a screw, right? So these are things that have to be taught on site with the real hands-on part of the skill. But I can teach them everything up to that. I could teach them all the different kind of bolts. I could teach them that there's brass ones, plastic ones. You use this nut, use this wrench for that nut, and that nut for this wrench, and you turn it clockwise. I could teach them all those things, but I can't teach them that last little piece of the skill. Back to the reviews process. I know I'm going down some rabbit holes here, but they're all good nuggets. So you have this weekly or quarterly or weekly or biweekly review, and then you have a quarterly review. If you want to tie it into other kinds of reviews, whether they're fiscal or other types of chats that you have with your techs, that's fine. But you have got to hang on to that training. You've got to talk about it. You got to, even if it's the person who's not doing the work, find out why and get to the end of it. Let's find out why this isn't working for you. And you'd be surprised some of the things I've learned in my short time at Interplay. Well, the reason I can't do the training when you want me to do it is when I'm taking my kid to the school bus. You know, the simple things like that, that you need to be agile and make adjustments for. Okay, so let's talk about that. How can we fix that? What if we did it at this time? So, you know, that's making that culture part work, right? Making it work for the culture, driving it forward.
When it comes to training sessions and the components that are most important in the live training sessions that help people stay engaged, alert, very present, right? Like we've got an engaged audience here in this training session. What comes to mind as most important?
Love this question because this is the education side. So long time ago when I was in the classroom, an administrator said to me, never do anything that a student can do. And the same thing should happen in a live training environment. If I'm a trainer, I'm going to spend more time managing the training session than I'm going to be teaching it. Because if I have a product that they can learn most of the foundational knowledge and maybe even some of the steps to do a given task that they can do ahead of time, they're going to be doing that. And then when they come into my classroom to be trained, it's not going to be me getting up going blah, blah, blah. It's going to be, hey, Nikki, get up and tell me what the four principles of refrigeration is. And the audience is going to be the ones that are going to be talking, not me. I'm just nodding and agreeing or disagreeing with their stuff. And making sure that we're really getting the foundational knowledge. If it's a foundational type training session, so well, why is it when it's 350 degrees or 350 pounds is 27 degrees? Why is that the case, right? You're asking the deeper questions, the critical creative questions we're making. Remember, we want thinkers, not doers, right? Thinkers are the ones that get it done in the course of a day, not the doer. The doer will stand there and stare at it all day long. The thinker will fix it, right? So that's one way to keep them engaged and energized and make it evangelistic. Hey, the first one who gives me the answer to this question gets this. You know, you'd be surprised how trivial and how competitive technicians are for a Jolly Rancher candy. These guys are diving all over the classroom for Jolly Rancher candies, but they all really what they want to do is just be the first. They want to be the best. So now you're creating leadership, right? Because these people are standing up. They're not afraid. They've got confidence, right? Because they know the right answer and they're all engaged. And it's fun. And the next thing you know, that hour training to them went by. It feels like it was 20 minutes. So they want to come. They want to come into training.
That's awesome. So many great nuggets there. Thank you. Just these tweaks that we can do. I mean, there's so much that you've shared that can be a complete overhaul to training, but there's also these nuggets that can be these little game-changing tweaks. And I really appreciate that. As we wrap up this conversation, Ken, I'm going to have you think about, you know, anything we might have not covered that's just really important for this short episode around creating meaningful, impactful training experiences. But I would love to lead us into, you know, this kind of final topic here around the future of training. Like, where do we see training going? You guys are on the forefront of this. Like, what's new and what's coming?
Well, I think you're going to see, what's new? I wouldn't say it's new. I'd say it's newer to the skilled trades component, right? So virtual reality and augmented reality training isn't new. The learning capacity from that environment is significantly higher than traditional training efforts. So I would say that's the future of training, is you're going to see a lot more technology-based information instead of a person getting up and blah, blah, blah. And certainly the VR and XR components in that. VR is very strong, has a great place. It's on demand. Somebody gets hurt, as an example. Guess what you're doing? You're getting trained. You're going to do training. And you're going to be the smartest tech in the world once you're back on your feet. Okay. So all these types of things that fit into that window of the future, I think you're going to see AI play a place. I'll talk about that later in this, but you're going to see AI have a huge part of the market in training. And it's changing as we speak, right? It's what you and I talk about today will already be history tomorrow. We're not replacing what has to happen in the field. I want to be very clear about that. Complemented by on-job training. So we have before the job training, right? BTJ, OTJ, right? That's what we're looking at in today's world. And those are things that are scalable, right? So growth, if we think about growth in a company, using a digital on-demand product is scalable. You could train one tech, 100 texts, 1,000 texts all at the same time.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so helpful. We might have to have you back for a round two to go in deeper because there's just a lot covered. We are going to do our lightning round together. And I know you all are waiting just to make sure that you've got his information because there's so much to follow up on. First one is we have an ever-growing recommended reading list that every guest gets to put one book on. And so your favorite book of all time or favorite recent read for our leadership audience.
One book if you said one book recommend, is definitely Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Wonderful book. I've read it probably 20 times. It's on my desk. It's got 9 billion sticky notes in it.
Do you have a hobby that you spend a lot of meaningful, just fun time on? Maybe a lot of people don't even know you do this hobby.
I am an avid motorcycle tourist. So long trips on a touring type motorcycle.
Oh, okay. Like what? Tell us what long trips means.
1,500 miles over 9 days.
What? Wow. What kind of bike?
It's a Honda Goldwing. It's the newest version. So it's got all the gas. I'm a technotard. I love all of it. I just can't get enough technology. Everything around me has to be technology. And this thing's got all of it.
Where's the next journey?
We are actually going, my wife, I'm actually going to turn it up a notch. I am buying a trailer because we've realized this one last trip we took over this time period, it'd be easier just to trailer the bike down to the area you want to ride in. So to answer your question, we're going back down to North Carolina and we're going to visit the Dragon, which is a very curvy road. And we're going to take some rides through Smoky Mountains and then head back up through Virginia and head home.
Cool. That's awesome. Have so much fun. That sounds great. Okay, Ken, if you were to pick Ken's one piece of advice to live by, what is it?
Have your goals, because I think goals are critical, but remain agile. You never know where life's going to take you, and everything happens for a reason.
And Ken, the best way for our listeners to connect with you after today?
You can very easily find me on LinkedIn. If you type in Ken Midgett, that's with two T's at the end, M-I-D-G-E-T-T. And you can certainly find me pretty much anywhere on Interplay Learning's website.
Ken Midgett, thank you so much for joining Gut Plus Science and taking your years of learning in employee development and training, and now with what you're doing to create exceptional training solutions in your everyday work and packaging it up into all of these key takeaways. I have so many, so I'm just going to rattle off my truth you can act on today. So we have to remember that the foundation for training is the culture and tying the team members' understanding of why the training to the outcomes that we're trying to develop. There's a connection between that, and we have to be able to clearly help to connect the dots between training and the culture here at this, you know, X company that we're leading. Also to remember that managers are to show up as coaches, and how do we invest in our managers to build their coaching skills? Because training is all about coaching. Remember that training breeds confidence. And when we are actively developing our people through our training, we watch them stand taller and them to really own the roles further. And so just don't forget, when you want more ownership out of your people, training is key to do that. Expect that training takes time. It's not a, here you go, here I showed you once, now go do it. It's really about understanding that it takes time and setting healthy expectations. Design your training with the outcome in mind. And I love that key here. It's like, what are the business outcomes we're going for? Here's why we're doing this training. And here's why we want you to be engaged in this process. And so working backwards from the why is super important. I think this was my favorite learning lesson from Ken, and I have referenced it so many times since we had this conversation. Get people involved. And remember, as a trainer, never do anything the students can do. So we're here to like manage and coach and work alongside them and help them take action in doing it. One of the best ways we learn is by doing, right? And so we as leaders have to remember, don't do the things that we know other people can do, and we're coaching and walking alongside them to watch them be successful and just watching them flourish and build their confidence along the way. Such a great episode. Thank you so much, Ken. And we look forward to learning more from you in the future. We just left the world a little bit better. Now, go do something with it.